Welcome. Welcome to Reflections in the Dark. I'm Richard Grund. It's Sunday, April 16th. For many, it's Resurrection Day. And for others, it's just Sunday. But welcome. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio on Spreaker.com. Archive, listen, and download here. You can also do that at the old Blog Talk Radio site and also on iTunes. Wednesday night, 7 p.m., we do The Porch, which takes a deeper, more biblical, scriptural look into some of the topics we cover here. So join us if you're interested in that. Quick announcement. 2 weeks from this weekend, Friday, April 28th, and Saturday, April 29th, I will be in the Birmingham area. On Friday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, I'll be doing a Shabbat service. And Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I'll be doing a new teaching on the supernatural that I've been working on. We will be at Trustville Civic Center, 5381 Trustville Clay Road. That's 17 miles northeast of Birmingham. If you want to come in on Friday and stay over, there are hotels in the area. If you want to support what we do here at Firefall, you can go to firefalltalkradio.com, supernaturalresponse.net. You can also contact us there, and there are support buttons. I want to apologize for last week. It was kind of a last-minute cancellation, and basically what happened was did some spring cleaning and decided I was going to clean the gutters. I figured it would take me about an hour. 3 hours later, and pretty beat up from climbing up and down a ladder and digging out the impacted gutters of leaves and dirt and then flushing them out, I was pretty beat up and really not in a place physically where I could sit here or do the homework necessary, so we had to do a quick cancellation. But we're here tonight. Hope you're with us. Hope you had a great day. You know, all of the... Oh, by the way, yes, you've noticed I haven't kicked it off to Joe, and we haven't started laughing yet because he's late. He's late, so he will call in when he gets home. And if you're listening live and you want to chat, I will send him a message, and the message should be, you're late. But anyway, all over the world, Christians and believers in Jesus of Nazareth celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Many celebrated Easter, but we don't do Easter. At least I don't do Easter. If you follow The Porch and you see the teachings we've done here on the path, Easter's not really a Christian holiday. Up until the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, the church celebrated the resurrection on the Jewish Passover. But then the people that took everything over and hijacked everything under Constantine's authority, they separated the two and condemned any confusion between the two. And after that, it became Easter. It was not celebrated before then. Easter is a pagan festival. It's been around long before the life, you know, birth, death, and the resurrection of Messiah. It's not a Christian name. It's derived from Ishtar. It's a Babylonian title of an idol goddess, the queen of heaven. Same thing as Ashtaroth, Ashtoreth, the Syrian Venus. I mean, basically, I believe that she is the offspring of the fallen, not a firstborn. All the firstborn were males. So probably the firstborn of the Nephilim. It's a worship that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob condemned and criticized Israel for doing. 1 Samuel 7:3, 1 Kings 11:5, 1 Kings 11:33, 2 Kings 23:13. You can find it throughout the Old Testament. This is not something we should be doing. I know some of you say, well, it's tradition, and we've always done it around our house, and that's not what it means to me. I'm sorry. Those explanations don't hold up. They just don't hold up when measured against Scripture. So we don't do Easter. We don't look for eggs, which is just a whole nother pagan practice. Easter, Christmas, Lent, the Babylonian festivals that were assimilated into the church after 325 AD to make it more seeker-friendly. But no matter what your position is on all that, we are in a time of bloodshed and martyrdom for those that believe in the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah of Yeshua. We're seeing it throughout the news. What I'm seeing is that we are in a time of shadows and the fingerprint of the fallen. It's amazing how once we got on this topic, almost every week something happens to confirm the fact that the enemy is not only out and about, we've known that, but very active, very bold, and very brazen. Just a quick little overview of how bad it is. Something I normally do on the porch, and I'll probably touch on this again, because not everybody that listens to one listens to the other. But there are places of extreme persecution around the world. And when you hear the names in the top 10, and then you look at the names in the news every day, there should be this little light bulb that goes off. Top of the list for worst place for Christian persecution, North Korea. Then Somalia. Then Afghanistan. Pakistan, Sudan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, and Eritrea, which is on the northeast coast of Africa along the Red Sea. And as I looked at that list, as I worked on today's show, I saw so many contradictions in the sense of who we as a nation of believers, both Jews and Gentiles, the majority of which who are Judeo-Christian believers. And yet we either support, fight for, or work with nations that kill people like us. Read an article today about from an insider in North Korea warning America that because of the recent tensions that Pillsbury demented boy, Kim Jong-un, is looking to kidnap Americans if he can get his hands on them. And we know there are a lot of Americans in South Korea. 1 in 12 Christians today will experience high or very high or extreme persecution for their faith. Nearly 215 million Christians face high persecution, with 100 million of them living in Asia. According to the Center for the Study of Global Christianity, an academic research center that monitors the demographics of this sort, estimates that between 2005 and 2015, 900,000 Christians were martyred. That's one every 6 minutes and an average of 90,000 a year. 90,000 Christians were murdered last year because they believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And unfortunately, and the news media doesn't want to talk about it, the underlying cause for this persecution is Islamic extremism. In Iraq, the Christian population has plummeted from 1.5 million believers in 2003 to recent estimates of 275,000. And in a few years, that number could be zero. Now, it's amazing to me how the mainstream media can ignore that. Well, it's really not amazing. They're told to. They're told not to talk about it. They're told what to report, and that just doesn't fly. We don't want Americans to know that they're in danger. We don't want Americans to know that certain countries go out of their way to slaughter Christians. You know, since we started talking about the manipulation of media and how the CIA infiltrated it in the 1950s and what we get told now, it's gotten worse. And you would think with the amount of outlets, what I call alt news or alt media, we'd be more informed, but the more they crack down on it, the less we're going to hear about. If you are on Facebook, you may have noticed that when you open up the app or you go to Facebook, suddenly this prompt comes up to try to help you to understand what fake news is. Well, I've had an interesting experience this week, and I haven't been able to figure it out yet. I have my theories. When I go to post stuff on my personal page or via SRT or Firefall Talk Radio from my mobile app, doesn't happen on my computer browser, but from my mobile app, suddenly Facebook freezes me out. And it says that we have noticed suspicious activity. They forced me to redo my password and redo everything before I can get back in. Out of 7 days this week, I've done it five times. And I've noticed that those events happen after I usually post a story either about Christianity, about heaven. I post an article from Fox News or one of the conservative news sites, and I notice immediately Facebook blocks me out. And I don't know if they're trying to make me go away or they're trying to make me stop posting those things. Also doesn't like when I try to post stuff on SRT. SRT's obviously been flagged by Facebook. Whenever I try to take something from my site or from Firefall and put it on the SRT page, all of a sudden I'm blocked out and I have to redo everything. That's the period we're in. We're in a period where they would prefer you be in darkness. They would prefer you be in the shadows. And we're not going to do that. I'm not going to play that way. I don't know yet how I'm going to deal with this. I suspect that my time on Facebook might be coming to an end. I got to find a different way to interact and post stories and keep people apprised to what's going on. I don't have that answer yet, because Facebook also owns WhatsApp, and Twitter is now censoring people as well. So I'm really not sure yet. You know, maybe we'll just have to go to a straight website and hope that you people are willing, that the people that support us and follow us are willing to take that extra jump. You know, I don't know. If you have some ideas or some suggestions, go to supernaturalresponse.net or firefalltalkradio.com and share them with me. But as we watch the tensions with North Korea, I remember something I said right after the election. This conversation Joe and I had, and I should have pulled the clip, where I said both Donald Trump could be the best thing and the worst thing that ever happened to us. And what I meant by the worst thing is he's an outsider who doesn't play well with others and isn't willing to go along with some of the schemes. Matter of fact, he has threatened to drain the swamp, and he has begun to cut things off, and he has shaken them up. That's a dangerous thing. These people in politics and in the shadows have been doing what they've been doing for a very long time. They couldn't stop him from being elected. So now they're going to try to find a way to stop him from carrying out his threats. And as I'd mentioned before, when you corner a rat, you better finish it off. Don't give it time to gather its courage or to lash back. And unfortunately, he did not do what I think he should have done. So he should have immediately gone in with pink slips in hand and cleaned house. But I don't think he was allowed to do that. That's just speculation on my part. But if you notice, we've been dealing with North Korea in the news. And North Korea has been a problem for, 60 years or more. 69 years. And here's the reason for that. It's been run by a dynasty, the Kim dynasty, a three-generation lineage of dictators. The first one was Kim Il-sung, who took control in 1948. And he came to power and began to rule the North after the end of the Japanese control in 1945, and Korea was split. He began the Korean War in 1950 in an attempt to reunify the Korean Peninsula, and of course he lost. His son, Kim Jong-il, took over, and then died somewhat young and didn't have his succession in place. And his youngest son, who I call Pillsbury Demented Boy, is Kim Jong-un, who's about 42 to 44 years old. We don't know his exact age. He's been the third head of state from this dictatorial dynasty. And it is one of the last bloodline-inherited monarchies on Earth. Remember what I said about a rat being cornered? We really have got to keep our eye on this person. He's got nothing to lose. Literally. He's got nothing to lose. So the harder we push him, and I know that China's gotten involved, and they have warned him. See, the thing about China's control over Korea is when the father, the first Kim Il-sung, was in power, if you look at their pictures, he seemed much more intelligent, and he was much more cooperative with China. Then his son, Kim Jong-il, not so intelligent looking, but still much more cooperative, followed the pattern of his father. The one they have now, not so much. He's a loose cannon that cannot seem to be controlled. Recently, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe warned his country and the rest of the world that Korea has access to a terrifying weapon, and we're going to talk about what that weapon is here. He warned his parliament this past Thursday that Korea may have missiles capable of delivering sarin gas, yes, the same gas that Assad was accused of using in Syria. He has the ability to put them on missiles to deliver them to ground targets. Now, whether that's true or not, it's plausible. And if it's plausible, it's something we need to pay attention to. I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm just telling you what's going on out there. I'm connecting the dots from the news this week just so that you can get a sense of where we are in the midst of all of this, and pray and prepare accordingly. You know, getting back to that whole sarin gas thing in Syria, when Assad was accused of dropping the bomb on the rebels, and the women and children died, less than 100, I think it was about 80 total, maybe less, the whole world went crazy. You know, Trump did what he did, dropping the mother of all bombs, Moab. They want him out of power. But then a couple of days ago, the Syrian rebels bombed a bus of refugees leaving Syria. They killed more people in that bus bomb than the gas bomb did. But yet the whole world is notoriously silent. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's only a few nations left that the Rothschild, hold on. Hello, Joe's Pizza. Hello.
Pizza. Hey.
Hey, man, you're late.
Listen, I am here. I am Joe's Pizza. I'm here with the pizza. And it's good to be here. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I'm glad I'm here. How are you, Richard Quickly?
Well, Richard Quickly is good. I'm not bad either.
That's great.
What we're talking about is I talked a little bit about Easter, why we don't celebrate it. I'm talking a little bit about what's going on in the world, the persecution of Christians, and little Pillsbury Demented Boy, the dictator of Korea, as I call him, Kim Jong-un, and just all the craziness. You know, I don't know if you noticed, we didn't talk about this, but, you know, the beginning of the week or whenever it was that supposedly Assad dropped that sarin gas bomb and everybody got up in arm over the pictures of the babies and the women, and then Trump responds by dropping that humongous bomb and all the stuff. And then 2 days ago, the Syrian rebels blew up a bus of refugees and killed more women and children in that bombing than the gas bomb, but everybody's very quiet.
Wow.
But there's a reason for that. They want Assad out. And here's why they want Assad out. Not just because of the whole dictatorship. Two things will happen if Assad is removed from power. One is ISIS will take over the rest of Syria. And then two, the Rothschilds will be able to claim the Syrian bank. There's only three banks left in the world that the Rothschilds don't control. North Korea, Syria, and Iran. Once I believe in the near future they're going to get Syria, they're going to get North Korea, and then somehow along the way they'll figure out the Iran thing. But once they have all the banks, then we can, then the whole new world order and that'll come into play. So there's all this hidden stuff really going on. But when it comes to North Korea, we have got to pay attention. Pillsbury demented boy, he's serious. He's got some loose stuff going on up there, and he'll push a button.
So what I'm gathering too, and I try to piece certain little things together, but what you just said about, you know, Trump's playing all this. So everybody has a plan, obviously, and what we're seeing on the outside of things might either look serious or appeal to maybe certain people out there, and they think they've got a grip on what's going on with the world and what's happened politically. But what you're saying is these things that are happening on the outside, things that we hear on the news, are these small little tiny smoke screens to what the bigger picture is, what is really going on behind the scenes. These could be kind of like little deflections with some fragments of truth of what's going on. But you're saying that the motives right now is what's happening, especially talking with the Rothschilds on these particular banks. This is all much bigger than Trump and everybody is, as we're heading into certain elements that need to be filled to complete, say, that new world order that you're talking about.
Yeah, I started out talking about how you and I, after he was elected, I said he was both the best thing and possibly the worst thing that could happen to us, because he's going to back all these guys into a corner and they're going to act out. And I believe that part of the struggles he's having right now, right out of the chute, is the war between the globalists, the bankers, the neocons who want to go to war, and the other side that says, no, let's get America straight. Let's take care of our veterans and our people. Let's fix America first. And so he's trying to appease them both, and I just don't see that's going to work. I think he's got a serious problem. He should have gone in and fired everybody.
Right.
Kind of like everybody else did. Bush did it. Clinton did it. Obama did it, but he went in much more like a businessman and said, well, those that are talented will keep them. Now, he should have just cleaned house, and it's too late for that. Plus, he did something I understood as far as ISIS. I didn't understand otherwise. He surrounded himself with a lot of military people, General Mattis, SecDef, and then you have H.R. McMasters, who is Security Council, I forget, it just went out of my head, blank. These two guys want to go to war. They want to march into Syria, depose Assad, and apparently what came out this week is Trump unequivocally said, no, we're not going to do that. But here's what we really have to watch out for, and we've been talking about this for a long time. North Korea's got a bomb, an EMP bomb, that could send us back to the Stone Age very quickly. And
well, that's
go ahead.
No. I just wanted to just interject really quick. You know, you've said that before. And obviously, when we talk about the end times and we talk about, you know, what is going to happen, we know what scripture says during wars and rumors of wars and all those things. Can a bomb, whether it's nuclear or however they see fit, say is fired, does that necessarily mean that it puts an end to everything? Like, we talk about the big bombs, and we talk about, you know, when you heard of like Nostradamus's predictions way, way back in the 70s, where they talked about, you know, by 1990 something, it would be like the end of the world or nuclear and, you know, fallouts and all this stuff. Obviously, we don't think that's going to happen, because it's not going to come to an end that way, I would think. But what I'm saying is, just because we are talking nuclear and the possibilities of a giant nuclear war happening, does that necessarily go against scripture, the end times, what's going on? And can we have nuclear attacks that's not world-threatening, life-threatening? How does that play into the picture?
I don't think we could have an all-out nuclear war because nobody wins. And there'd be nothing left for the Antichrist to take power over.
Correct.
But if North Korea, who has put up satellites, you know, last year very quietly, we talked about it, but very quietly, North Korea put a satellite up in space that could have delivered an EMP bomb to the United States, and it just floated over us, and nobody said a word. If he'd had one, he could have hit us. He's been practicing with missile delivery systems and submarines, and he's actually gone through certain areas and gotten away with it because the last administration had no defenses. But he's preparing for it. And see, here's what an EMP strike will do. It will essentially fry everything. It will fry everything. Certain parts of the world, where it would, especially if it's the United States, we could lose all electronic devices up to 18 months. And that would kill millions of people, simply anybody, on pacemakers or life support or whatever, would be fried. Somebody saying, well, then we could use solar. Yeah, but any machine made before that moment would have been destroyed. It will take anywhere from 4 to 18 months to remake everything. So the nightmare scenario would send us into darkness, into a period of time that we wouldn't be able to pump water. We wouldn't, our sewage systems wouldn't work. All technology would make us defenseless. And see, that would be something for North Korea to do, simply because they're not as strong. They don't have a really good military. I mean, you've seen all the videos. We can sit here and laugh about them. He did some big parade recently showing missiles that got everybody, wow, where did he get that? We didn't know he had that. And now people have looked at them and they think they're like cardboard, or they made them like quickly to put on a show. And then he did a missile test that fizzled out like a bad cartoon. So if he only has one thing that works, it'll be the thing that he uses. And it would be the great equalizer, because most of our resources, militarily, politically, socially, are what? They're electronic. This is the age of the iPad. This is the age of digital everything. What do we do when those things don't work? I mean, the grid, the electronic grid that we have, we've talked about this a couple of years ago. The electronic grid that we have right now that we get our electricity from is so outdated. It's outdated, it's not protected, and if it goes down, again, years to put back up. So he has to be real careful how hard he pushes this guy, unless with the okay of China. It seems like China is trying to get him Korea to calm down. Unless the world comes together and says, hey, we got to take him out, which means North Korea is gone, then they're going to have to do something so devastating that it doesn't give him time. And who knows what the fallout from that would be. I really don't think anybody really wants that. But when you have somebody that unstable, I'm not sure what other option they have.
Now, you know, we have things that are outdated and, you know, on a technological aspect. What about as far as our military, our weapons, what we have, what we would use if we were ever in a situation? Like you said, I don't think anybody wants to push that button and just end everything. And it wouldn't coincide with scripture And we know that. And you're right. There's nothing to control for the Antichrist if there's nothing here to control. So I get all that. Are we prepared in situations of war that, say, is not the mother of all wars, but are we prepared on a military level as far as with our troops, with our numbers, with our trained people, with our missiles, our weapons, and our aircrafts? Are we up in the times with what the other countries are putting together and what they have for inventory?
I think after 8 years of the military being dismantled, generals being fired, supplies being cut back, my first response is no. But I think that's part of the reason that they dropped that humongous bomb in Afghanistan. You know, the Moab, the mother of all bombs.
Right.
And apparently they have a certain shelf life, and the shelf life on those bombs is over in about 2 years. I think that was their way of saying, we have no hesitation to use these things. And the crazy thing about that bomb, they dropped it on the tunnels in Afghanistan that ISIS is using. Tunnels that the CIA paid bin Laden to dig when we were supporting the Mujahideen rebels against Russia in the 80s. So essentially, we knew those tunnels were there the whole time. We just decided this week it served our purpose to destroy them. I mean, this is such a the amount of information that's out there, and I was thinking about this before we go on to the next topic. Could the Antichrist take advantage of an EMP strike? I mean, let's look at the things that would go down. All water pumping, all sanitation, lights, refrigerators, TV, radios, all internet, all manufacturing. Anything that relies on complex electronic microcircuitry would cease to function. Banking transactions, air traffic control, aircraft, ground transportation, law enforcement communication, gasoline pumps, heating, air conditioning, any implanted medical devices, anywhere from a few hours to a few days to 18 months down. Millions of people would die. It would probably take $2.6 trillion to rebuild it. Could the Antichrist take advantage of that? Yeah, because it would allow someone to come out of the woodwork to create calm. But the problem is, how does he communicate with the masses if it's all gone? If there's no internet, if there's no broadcasting capabilities, how does he communicate with anybody?
Right.
So I don't see that happening just yet. Could it happen in the second half of the tribulation? Absolutely. Because at that point, he's declared himself God, and he's at war with everybody, including the ones that are possibly coming out of the pit. But then in the midst of all that, another thing snuck out in the news that I don't see a lot of people talking about. And I meant to send it to you, and I don't think I did. This week, it came out, there's a group called the Shadow Brokers. They're a group of hackers that unloaded all the NSA's tools of the trade on the internet for free. They were trying to sell them, nobody would buy them, so they just dumped them on the internet. What's his name? Both Assange and Snowden said, well, they just gave away the keys to the kingdom. And then they released all these files that showed all the areas that the NSA was hacking. First thing, you know, I don't know if we talked about this or not, but for years we were warned not to get internet routers out of China because they posed a threat of backdoor surveillance functionality and that China was hacking us and doing all this stuff. But now we find out from these documents that got dropped this week that the Americans have been doing the exact same thing. In June 2010, the NSA targeted specific areas, and what they did was they intercepted routers, servers, and other computer network devices before they were exported from the U.S. to international customers, and then they implanted a backdoor surveillance tool, repackaged the devices, factory sealed them, and sent them on. So for years, the NSA has been spying on and inside entire networks all over the world. A couple of the tweets that came out, the shadow brokers released password NSA hacking tools from 2013 as a protest over what they were seeing. Edward Snowden says NSA just lost control of his top secret arsenal of digital weapons. The hackers of the world now have it. This is some crazy stuff. We find out that the NSA has been hacking the Pakistan mobile system. But here's the one that really, I don't know if it concerns me, and I don't know enough about it. I wish I had somebody financially to reach out to. I think I do. I'll try that tomorrow. There's something called SWIFT, the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. Basically, it's a network that the financial institutions of the world send and receive private encrypted information about transactions. The NSA hacked it. You know how they hacked it? They created a backdoor in Windows and all the Windows servers that were coming out of Microsoft. And if you do your homework, you find out that Microsoft has been accused since 2003 of allowing the NSA to build backdoors into Windows software. Frightening stuff.
Oh, absolutely. That doesn't surprise me. I mean, when we talked about Microsoft, I mean, when we had that show that we talked about different softwares and giant companies out there, and, you know, Microsoft might be up in the times with certain parts of technology, but it also leaves them very vulnerable in a situation like when dealing with the NSA and the encryptions. And I think that, you know, their source is still got to be considered somewhat of an open source, although they do say that Windows with the whole Defender program is really, you know, almost antivirus free, you know, kind of like how it was with Apple. But if you're working with them, if you're leaving a back door, then it really doesn't matter how secure a particular platform is if you're giving somebody that leeway. My question has always been, you know, is Windows that platform that opens up those communication lines to something even bigger when we talk about the fallen and what is to come? Is that the universal platform, you know, via the technology, technological wise here in the world for the fallen and some of the stuff that Microsoft has up its sleeve and what they're coming out with as far as advanced technology? Is that making it a lot easier to open those floodgates for the Nephilim to come through?
No, you're absolutely right, because when you look at the worldwide power brokers, Gates is always up there. He's always at the meetings. He's always, you know, doing the things that indicates he's in on the plan. We know that Steve Jobs never was. He pushed back. He wouldn't play with, you know, well with others. And he died of cancer. Now, whether the cancer was real or planted, I don't know. We could get really conspiratorial here. But the fact is, they got him out of the way. Apple has not continued to be as innovative as they were. They've continued to do their thing and make money and control their part of the market, whereas Microsoft has played well with the government. I mean, part of these back doors are all Microsoft servers and systems, especially the older ones where they were built right in. NT, XP, Windows 7, and all the Windows servers are at risk. One of the articles I read, the guy, as a demo, got a computer running a Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1 system and taking the information given to him in those leaked files, he hacked it in 2 minutes. In two minutes, he found the back door and was inside of it. Now, what could they do with that? Why is that an issue? Well, they could load something called ransomware, where they take over your system and you have to pay to get it back. They could steal sensitive data or plant criminal evidence. They want to shut you up. They want to get you out of the way. Suddenly they kick in your door. You're accused of having child pornography on your computer. You don't know how it got there, but it's on your hard drive and it's embedded, and now you're gone. This is something that the world is ignoring, and I find very frightening, because it just simply means we've lost control of the game. Not that we ever really had it, but we've been trying to push back. We've been trying to stay ahead of the game. You can't even count on Apple. Here's the other thing that this got revealed, and I haven't heard Apple's statement on it. They haven't released a statement yet. One of the tools inside these documents is codenamed Dropout Jeep. I'm not sure what these names yet mean, but Dropout Jeep, it gives the NSA total control of iPhones.
Huh.
It allows them to implant software on Apple iPhone, including the ability to remotely push or pull files from the device, SMS retrieval, which is one of the problems, you know, iMessage and all that stuff, can steal your contact list, voicemail, geolocation, can turn on your mic and use your camera, the whole bit. I'm sorry, I didn't give anybody permission for that, and apparently neither did Apple, but it's on there. Another one is called Irate Monk, IRATEMONK, capital letters. Here's what it is. It's technology that implants firmware onto hard drives made by Mac Store, Samsung, Seagate, and Western Digital.
Wow.
The Cisco firewalls that are supposed to be one of the best have two softwares called Banana Glee and JetPlow that have been hit. They give them persistent backdoor capability. This is not stuff that we should go, you know, yawn. I mean, when Snowden leaked what he did, it told America that there was illegal eavesdropping on our telephone conversation, privacy violations, and Congress changed the law as a result. WikiLeaks exposed the corrupt policies within the Democratic Party and all the things we found out last year from the spirit cooking or whatever. But this is something else. These files and tools that now every hacker in the world has are the best of the best of the NSA cyber weapons, which means criminal hackers, cyber anarchists, and a hostile foreign government like North Korea now has the ability to steal data, plant malware, and just plain out cause chaos.
Huh.
So, my goal has always been someday to live on a Caribbean island, get the heck out of here, solar power, fish, and just say, you know what, let's just let it all go. And I know that doesn't sound very spiritual, but I got to be honest with you, folks. Sometimes fighting these wars gets a little tiring. But then after the election, I saw everything was going. You know, I saw the patriotism and all that coming back. And I wondered, is that plan still in place? But after this last week, and after watching the neocons and the globalists and Soros bank book still controlling people in government and the White House, I don't... I remember what the word I gave that the Lord told me, and believe this or not, listeners, that Trump would be someone to slow things down, and we would have 3.5 years at best. I'm seeing that right now. I think he has pushed them to a place where they're going to start doing what it was they were going to slowly roll out, which ties into what we've been talking about, the shadows of the fallen. They're getting ready to do their thing. They need things in place, and now we know too much. The little people, people like us, people like our listeners, we know too much. And when you know too much, you become a danger.
And, you know, just to wrap up the whole aspect with the Microsoft and the banks, come to think about it now, all the big banks, Citizens Bank, Bank of America,
it's all Windows.
It is all Windows. Some of it, not even Windows 10 yet, still right. on the previous right. one, but still, you're right. It was like a little light bulb as you were talking, like, yeah, well, that would make sense. Everybody is on Windows. And it's got to be more to it than just, an easier platform to use. There has to be some sort of reasoning that is goes a lot deeper than on the surface.
Well, what did Microsoft do when it first came out? It gave away the software.
Right.
They gave it away, so every computer that people bought had free Windows. Apple kept theirs proprietary so they could control it and keep it safer, and you could only get it on a Mac, on a Mac. But Windows was on everything because it was free. The last Windows 10 upgrade initially was what? It was free for the first time
right.
ever. Folks, there's nothing free in this world, and when that kind of stuff happens, we need to figure out what's really going on. I mean, the whole banking system, I didn't even know what the SWIFT banking system was. And when I looked that up today, it's the global cooperative from which all the international banks communicate. That's 15 million messages a day. 200 countries, 11,000 financial institutions, and the NSA has been listening to all of it. Now, some people will say, well, this is how we keep track of our enemies. Really? Has that done us any good? Is that really what this is all about? Now, there's something darker and more nefarious going on here. And these guys dumping it the way they did has created, again, a chaos to where you know something has to happen. Maybe a false flag event, maybe something to take our mind off of it. But again, that gets us back to the EMP. What would solve all of this? Get down into an underground bunker where you have all that protected hardware, all that protected electronics, and let an EMP go off somewhere. Blame it on North Korea. That would allow the world to do what they need to do. That would allow them access to new computer stuff that you have to get through them. I mean, this would make a great movie if I wanted to spend the time to write it. But this has got some serious fingerprints of the Fallen all over it.
Speaking of on the technological aspect, you know, when all these platforms were coming out, you know, Microsoft, and we're talking about the software, not the phones per se, but the software. Now it's, as we just, we keep talking about that Microsoft and what they're doing behind the scenes. It is funny that they gave up on their phones to now focus on their software, making it available and free on across platforms, meaning Android and Apple now can use pretty well everything of Microsoft on their phone. So it goes deeper now. You know, it's the voice assistants and everything else that's going on there. So I just wonder if that is the plan to give everybody that software, make it all free, make it available across the platform. If there is not another ulterior motive that's going on behind the scenes that we don't see, and that that was eye-opening today. Even the short time that I've been on the show today, that aspect is eye-opening because it does open up so many things when we think about the bank and the global banking and what's going on. That we segued here. It's amazing where Microsoft has put themselves in and leaving that back door open. So it's pretty scary to think about that. And you're absolutely right. Touching on everything else, even with what's going on a political level, military-wise, weapons-wise, technology-wise, it is all heading toward that way, whether we want to realize it or not.
Right,
and
right.
It's just more of an eye-opener when we go through things like this. That's a fine comb that actually doesn't just talk about two guys that are throwing crazy stuff out there about what's happening in the universe and the return of the Fallen. When you can get down to it and take what we see and what's happening in the world on a technological level, and then tie that in, that's when it gets scary, because now we're going to the root cause, or at least what's happening globally right now. So yeah, it's fascinating, you know, as far as to do this research and find all this information out. But for me, it's also scary at the same time.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. If you think about how this is all played, it used to be that BlackBerry was the most secure phone and everybody had it. And then for whatever reason, they screwed up so badly that they're basically out of business. So now they don't have to worry about that. You couldn't crack the BlackBerry. You couldn't get through their system, and they wouldn't let the government in. So suddenly they're gone. Was that an accident? Maybe. I don't know. Could be conspiratorial. I also know this, that there are a lot of places when I go to log in or I go to register, especially certain banking thing or financial things, they don't like the Safari browser on my Mac. They would prefer I use Windows Explorer or Google.
Oh.
And since Explorer kind of went by the wayside, they want Google or whatever. They don't, I'll have problems. I can't get in. I can't do this. What browser are you using? Well, Safari, I have a Mac. Well, we're not very compatible with that.
Well, right.
Why would that be? Unless, of course, there's a reason for that. You don't get the back door. But now we see the banking. We see Cisco. We see what they've done with iPhones. And, you know, Microsoft did say, well, we've patched most of those vulnerabilities. But wait a second. They've been there for all these years. You're telling me you didn't put them there? This has just gotten so conspiratorially bizarre that you can't make it up. It's all out there. You can verify what I'm saying. You can go online. You can look at it, especially over this last week, from everything we've seen to the persecution of a certain religious group, now considered the most persecuted religious group in the world, Christians. We look at what's going on in North Korea and in Syria. We look at all this other stuff going on, and we trace it all the way through everything we just talked about, the banking and the technology and the servers and everything that's going on. And then you realize, wait a second, it all ties together. It all ties together. And what control we have, I got to be honest with you. I really don't know. I thought information was power, but doesn't seem to be in this digital world. Because once you get the information, they either change it or target you. And I mentioned, I don't think you were on the air, but 5 times out of 7 days this week, I'll go to post something on Facebook. Oh, we've locked your account. There seems to be some suspicious security activity, and we need you to redo your password. And every time I want to post, cross-post something on the SRT page, or if I post something that's Christian-related or conservative or whatever, I guess I'm being labeled as fake news or whatever. I'm going to have to figure out a different way to stay in touch with people, because it looks like Facebook has become a problem.
And and the thing with Facebook, too, I mean, being off the grid for a little bit with Facebook, I could tell you that, and you know this anyway, you know, Facebook became that platform for people to communicate. I get the whole reason in the very beginning, and it made a lot of sense. It reached a lot of people to be in contact and find one another. I get that. But just like anything else, as time goes on, you know, I can't help but think on the conspiracy level, what benefits that has used now the government and everybody else for Facebook. So that has become another dangerous aspect that to me is scary. And I think in the next few years, and maybe even less. We're going to see, Facebook is really exposing itself right now. And it's just become one big political rant and throwing videos up there of what's going on in the world. And it's nothing like what it was for. So it'd be interesting to even find out, what are they going to come out with next? What is the next best thing that they can have everybody jump onto that once Facebook wears off? So there's a lot of things, but I wanted to say this quick too, before, you know, we run out of time. You know, when you look through the eyes, you know, the world in different eyes, especially SRT reflection eyes, I'm driving through town early this morning. And of course you look at all the churches, and it is amazing to me that there was a few different churches that I had gone by that there were cars not only parked in the parking lot, outside of the church, on the grass of the church, on the street, on the main road, parked all against the side. And it just tells me, my light bulb moment was, you know something? If that church is like that every week, I'm okay with that. I get it. But I would be curious to find out when I go to these same churches next week, is it going to be full like it was? Are we that programmed, or some people that programmed, to say, okay, it's a holiday, it's a disaster, you know, that everybody will flock to church? And that's a shame. But yet, I just can't help but wonder how society is also blinded by a lot of these things, to feel in your mind that no matter what I've done 6 days out of the week, it's Easter. And the first thing, I got to go to church. They may not go to church all year long, but maybe Christmas and Easter. And that is, to me, is depressing, because on a church aspect, sure, would you love to see the churches full all the time, people getting spiritually fed? Absolutely. But it's situations like that, I'd just be curious, is the parking lots flooded next Sunday?
Probably not. Probably not. I remember when I was still involved in all that, the CNE, the Christian, Christmas and Easter Christians, and all of that did, and the offerings, and how some churches count on them, and they promote it, and they do everything they do, and they put on their musical events, and they make, you know, I was telling my wife today, and this is really off the beaten thing, but all the things that used to move me, all the things that we used to do, spending all day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this weekend at church, doing the cantatas, performing in them, writing, doing everything. I look back in all that now and I go, you know what? Yeah, I had some feel-good moments and I had some emotional moments. But what did that really do? See, that kind of passion is supposed to be every day. And that kind of celebration of his life and his resurrection is an everyday thing. And then when we go to promote that or try to do that or go out and help people, it's so difficult to get any support because it doesn't fit their mindset. It doesn't fit the show or whatever it is. And that's why the world is the way it is. So I've become more, I don't want to say jaded, but disenchanted by the show.
Disenchanted. Listen, I want to say this. When it comes to Reflections in the Dock, what I want to do is, and it would probably take forever to do that, take all the shows and take our language, our made-up words and words that we haven't heard together, you know, in a while, and put them into one show. You would probably develop your own vocabulary. Think about that. Think of all the words, conspiratorial and such. Just some of the stuff that we've come up with, we've actually created our own language. Disenchanted, I have not heard that song, that word, in many years. So it also resurrects a lot of words that haven't been used. So see, folks out there, you also learn, get educational on words that has not been used or ever heard in the history of the world.
Wow. My brain is fried. I just don't know where to go with that. My brain is completely fried. I think the NSA has a back door into my brain, and it's frozen. So
I
on
remember,
that
well,
note,
you were the first one to start using the word religiosity. Remember that way back when? I mean, you could put a whole book together, a little pamphlet of vocabulary, the SR Reflections way.
Okay. All right. Thank you, then. Good show. Glad you can make it, brother. You know what, folks? We're going to keep doing this. We have fun doing it. As long as you want to listen, we'll keep it up. But the darker it gets, the brighter we have to shine, and that's what we do here on Reflections in the Dark. On behalf of Joe Citrone, I'm Richard Gunn. We'll see you next week on Reflections in the Dark.